Welcome to War Room, the official podcast of the U.S. Army War College Online Journal, graciously supported by the Army War College Foundation. Please join the conversation at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. We hope you enjoy the program.
Make sure not to miss a single podcast and subscribe to A Better Peace, the War Room podcast, at iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite subscription service. The views expressed in this presentation are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of the U.S. Army War College, U.S. Army, or Department of Defense. Hello, listener. A quick note before we begin this episode. In the discussion, Major General Hill comments on the extent to which the Army War College's many contributions outside of its education mission are often overlooked or simply not known. To help address this gap, we're launching a new series, the USAWC Beyond Carlisle. Available now on our website under the Special Series dropdown at the top of the page, listeners will be able to find this conversation and some of our existing content that highlights a few of the ways that the War College supports the Army, the Joint Force, and National Defense, with more content coming soon.
Hello and welcome to Better Peace, the War Room podcast. I'm J.P. Clark, an Associate Professor of Strategy in the Basic Strategic Art Program and the Editor-in-Chief of War Room. As always, we're delighted to have you with us, but particularly so for this special conversation with Major General David Hill, the 53rd Commandant of the Army War College. General Hill is a graduate of West Point and the National War College. He spent the bulk of his career as an engineer officer, serving in numerous command and staff positions as a combat engineer and in civil works. His most recent positions were serving as the Deputy Commanding General for U.S. Army Central and then later for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So, General Hill, thanks for joining us at War Room.
Thanks for having me, JP.
So as I was looking back at, you've now been here a little bit over 2 years at Carlisle, and what immediately struck me is you came into an institution that had three major activities or initiatives or events that were ongoing. Obviously, COVID was still pretty prevalent when you came in. There is also the 2020 Joint Chiefs of Staff Professional Military Education Vision, which has had numerous implications for the War Colleges. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. Then also the construction and now the occupation of this beautiful building that we're sitting in right now. At the time of recording, we've been here for just over a month. Any three of those would be a headline for an Army War College commandant. I imagine there's probably some people who think that, commanding a military education, institution is easy. Every day just kind of takes care of itself. Clearly, you know better than that. This has been some momentous years. So it's perhaps a unfair question, but if you could summarize briefly in just a few thoughts, what is the direction of travel for the Army War College as it's evolving, once again, kind of granting that so much has happened during this your tenure so far?
Yeah, thanks, JP. That's a great question. And it was an exciting time when I got here. And, what was evident to me right away is how agile and adaptive I think everyone here, from college leadership to faculty and staff, is and continues to be, right? And how they had helped us navigate and continue in-person education, how we were able to continue at pace with the work to build out this new facility and think about how to harness all the potential benefits that it brings us as we think about educating professionals in the 21st century. And there's certainly the promulgation of a substantial amount of guidance, not just the JCS vision and guidance, but with the transition in administrations and a new national security strategy and national defense strategy, there was plenty for us to kind of put our heads around and try to make sense of in a way that advances the mission of the Army War College to develop leaders for worldwide service that will advance knowledge in the global application of land power, meet the needs of our nation and the nations that our students come from. And so, and underlying all that is sort of an entrepreneurial and innovative spirit amongst our faculty and staff. So now, stepping forward through those last 2 years, we've really tried to leverage our thinking about that strategic guidance, a changing environment, and to be a leader in what I think was asked of us by the Joint Chiefs through that vision and guidance, which is to move forward with assessment-informed, tailorable programs, right, that afford us every opportunity to maximize this really last, most significant investment in the professional development of our senior leaders, both military and civilian, that affords opportunity for deep study and reflection about a whole range of important and relevant topics to securing our nation and doing so with allies and partners. So we've done a lot of work, and we can talk about that some more perhaps on this notion of assessment-informed, tailorable programs that create that opportunity to unleash the full potential of the students that come to study here. And I'm excited about where we are and the path that we have going forward in that regard.
Yes, sir. And I do want to get to that, but I think there's probably an interesting thread to pull for most of our listeners who may not have thought much about professional education and how our curricula kind of take form. And so if you go a little bit deeper into, you know, how many bosses do you have in terms of, you know, organizations or individuals who are giving you direction about what an Army War College graduate, whether resident or distance, needs to be, you know, how are all those inputs coming together and how does that work? So take us a little bit behind the curtain.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, I'm as a direct reporting unit to the headquarters department of the Army, I'm accountable to the chief of staff of the Army and the Secretary of Army directly to deliver the executive education programs that are necessary for our senior leaders through the Army War College mission. Certainly, we are an accredited institution. We're accredited by to award a master's degree in strategic studies by the Middle States Coalition on Higher Education. That comes with some responsibilities. We're accredited by the Joint Staff to award the highest level of joint professional military education through the completion of our program, and that comes with guidance and direction. And so, you know, we have to exercise professional judgment with the experts that we have here on strategic leadership, theories of war and strategy, military strategy and campaigning, the art of defense management, and to put that together in a way where our with a key constraint of time, principally. We're a well-resourced institution for the mission we have, in my estimation. But there's more that we can cover in a year than there is in the time that we have available. And, you know, I like serving here because fundamentally the challenges that I deal with every day are abundance problems. It's making good strategic choices about how we what initiatives we champion and align resources behind that are most directly aligned with the guidance that we receive first from the Department of the Army, then from the Joint Staff and other stakeholders that have interest in professional military education. And that's a fairly broad group, you know, across a consortium of national security, education, and enterprise organizations.
Yeah, sir. And I think that the tension of time, you know, certainly having spent my year in the trenches as a resident course instructor, I could see as, you know, our faculty team. And so for those of our listeners who aren't familiar, a faculty team for a seminar has three different departments represented. And, you know, we were always, boy, if I just had one more day, I could do all of this other. And everybody had very legitimate, you know, needs. I think that this probably gets a little bit, and this is the segue over to the assessment-based and tailorable particularly. So, you know, if you could just kind of unpack those phrases that might not necessarily be intuitive to some of the listeners, what all is entailed with that new direction of travel?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of that, I think, is fundamentally new, and part of it is not, because assessment really occurs sort of on a number of levels. We have a robust institutional sort of assessment methodology where we solicit feedback from graduates of our programs, from strategic leaders in the field today about the quality of our graduates and our deliverables, and we're able to fold that feedback into, iterative refinement of our curriculum and our programs. That's one aspect of assessment. But as it relates to this broader idea of assessment-informed tailorable education, we're talking about assessing the knowledge, skills, behaviors, preferences of individual learners as they arrive at the United States Army War College. And I think it's well-aligned and nested with a fundamental shift in how the Army has approached talent management over the last several years from our industrial age methodologies that you and I grew up with as young officers that really managed people around two variables, their rank and what functional area or branch they represented. And now that looks and intends to look much more broadly at those knowledge, skills, abilities of individual officers. And so here, sort of at the far right end of professional military education, with students that average 45 years of age and 20 years of professional experience, it was incumbent upon us to think critically about how our assessment efforts can complement things like Project Athena and our command assessment programs that are part of that Army level transformation of talent management, and to be able to quickly take the feedback from that assessment and advise a student about how to navigate through those things that we have to offer here in the course of a given year to unleash their full potential. So that's at its core what we're talking about. And those assessments run the gamut from intellectual assessments, cognitive assessments, to assessments of their physical health, their well-being in all aspects, spiritual and mental, and the opportunity for self-awareness, and then to be partners in guiding them through a tailorable year here. And that comes with a lot of work as well for our faculty, right? As we think about, you know, I think traditionally professional military education, not just senior professional military education, but at all grades from pre-commissioning through mid-career and on to later parts of your career tend to be relatively fixed in terms of there's professional judgment applied to a strong core curriculum that accounts for most of the available time that a student has in a particular course. And with the changing nature of the global security environment, the vast uncertainties that we're dealing with, the changing character of war that General Milley has recently described well in his writing about the strategic inflection point we find ourselves in, I think require us not to produce 373 that are all alike. There's foundational knowledge in elements of our profession that we're responsible for developing and enabling our students to apply when they leave here. But there's also requirements to build experts with some depth in disruptive technologies, in non-traditional threats, in a whole bunch of things that might not have fit neatly into the curriculum of a war college in the past.
Yes, sir. Well, and I think that last bit, you know, probably if to put you on the spot, what are, if you were to hone in on a couple of key knowledge, skills, and behaviors, to kind of use the talent management terms, that you think a 21st century leader would really need to have, what would you say, hey, come to the Army War College because we're going to give you this and you're going to need it as you go on and move throughout the ranks? What are the most essential aspects, do you think, as somebody who's you know, served in some pretty demanding positions in your own right?
Now, that's a great question, and I'll try to do that service here in what I offer back to you for consideration. But first and foremost, there's some things that would be very familiar to those that came through our program generations ago. And I think, you know, that first level is around things like moral judgment and ethical reasoning in the application of force, right, to secure the interests of our nation, right? That fundamentally, that leadership with character and understanding how to accomplish what is asked of our United States Army and our joint force more broadly, with that principal idea behind it. So that's not necessarily new, but it's certainly, I think, perhaps continue to become increasingly complex as we think about this continuum from competition through now large-scale combat operations, as is evident today in Europe. So that's a component of it. The General Milley has talked about in this strategic inflection point, changing character and changing global order. And I think changing character in many respects is driven by disruptive technologies that are having incredible effects on speed, range, lethality. And underneath that, you know, there's, as a professional, as a senior professional, some foundational level of understanding around concepts like data literacy that our Secretary of the Army has communicated as one of her key objectives, is to raise the Army's game in that regard across the entire force, or in the application of artificial intelligence and machine learning in the future of warfare. And so, interestingly for us, I think there's knowledge areas that we're interested in assessing, offering opportunities for remediation to create a program that gets all of our graduates to a foundational level of proficiency and then creates opportunity for some to dive deeper in there and build real expertise based off of how we think the Army, or how they think the Army, will employ them in the future and their talent. So there's character, there's critical thinking to deal with this, and creative thinking to deal with this uncertainty. There's systems thinking and leading change in these increasingly complex multi-domain environments, and how we think we'll fight, you know, consistent with emerging warfighting concepts and all the rest. So, JP, that is just scratching the surface, I think, of things that we need our leaders to be well prepared to help advise, help manage, help lead when they leave the United States Army War College.
Yes, sir. Now, and to help our some of our listeners probably put have a little firmer mental picture of what that entails. It's amazing how many different, you know, special programs and opportunities, you know, everything, you know, from, you know, the Eisenhower Speaking Series, Carlisle Scholars, different, you know, individual or integrated research projects where they're alongside some of the faculty and working on, I think, real world problems. Like we just had the release of our Ukrainian IRP last year. Is there anything that, like, is there one program or initiative that just kind of stands out for you as something that you would want to highlight for, especially maybe some of those folks who are considering whether they want to come here to, you know, the Army War College? What would you put out as a good selling point for those who are interested in Carlisle?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one is despite the fact that I have maybe communicated the idea that we have a long way to go on this notion of assessment-informed, tailorable education, the way you phrased that question speaks already to the really kind of diversity of the experiences that we have here. So, you know, in a typical resident War College academic year, we have 24 seminars that are the base of learning for us. Those typically have about 16 students in it. But of those 24, by October, November, six of them are curated around unique approaches to learning or specific subject areas, right? Where we're achieving program learning outcomes common to the more traditional seminar, but doing them in a tailored way that help future strategic advisors, joint warfighters, defense managers, really build depth of experience there. So first and foremost, I'm proud about all those. A couple that are really intriguing to me. Carlisle Scholars Program is led by one of our or several of our tremendously talented faculty. And in and of itself, it achieves those program learning outcomes that we pursue in a very creative way and is a laboratory for experiments in how we teach our curriculum. That's valuable not just for the student outcomes attained, but for what it feeds back into the institution. And there's other programs like that, our national security policy program under other professors that are similarly empowered to experiment. Our future studies program, which really applies a sort of project-based approach to learning and research that is particularly relevant, I think, to the work that strategic leaders will do when they leave here and lead interdisciplinary teams of subject matter experts to solve complex problems. That's particularly exciting. And you mentioned Integrated Research Project, or IRP. More broadly speaking, one of the things that's been intriguing and satisfying to me over the last 2 years is how through hard work, we are having success in building a bias in leaders in the field to look back to Carlisle to help them solve complex challenges. And that may take the form oftentimes of applied sponsored research here, where a leader with a particular question that are all broad and complex, that's particularly relevant to the what we teach here, when we can bring groups of students together, aligned with a faculty mentor, with subject matter expertise, to guide them through a very practical application or completion of a strategic research requirement that's necessary to be a graduate of the Army War College, and to do so in a way that brings value not just to the student learners, but to organizations out in the field that are, so whether that's a theater Army commander in the Pacific or an Army Futures Command commander or the Chief of Intelligence for the United States Army, a headquarters department of the Army, or a slew of other project sponsors. I think it's sort of a snowball effect here, right? We have sharpened our ability to kind of apply what we're sort of calling a Carlisle method, which is a project-based approach to research, to deliver some meaningful recommendations and thought leadership back to Army leaders. And that comes back to our point of time before, right? It's an abundance problem, because the only thing we're particularly limited there is by the amount of time we have our students and the bandwidth of our faculty to continue to be excellent in teaching and to be effective mentors of these group research efforts or individual research efforts.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And, thinking back last year when I was in the resident course, and the people who are, the students who I was advising, they were torn, because they said, I want to do that, I want to do this. And there were so many different opportunities, and kind of walking them through and figuring out which one was right for them was fun. But, I think that they could have very easily have had just as good of another year if they had chosen a different path. But you hit on all the things that we do for the Army and the Joint Force. And so that's probably a good segue in that, most people think of the Army War College and they go straight to the resident course or straight to the distance course. But there's a whole lot of other things that are happening at Carlisle as well. And I don't know if you want to kind of take us through some of the additional value that that we provide here from the entire institution.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, because I think U.S. Army War College almost has an instinctual reaction for people to think almost exclusively about what has been the traditional senior service college experience. But this is a small organization, but with broad reach, right, that really does help us be expert at advancing knowledge in the global application of land power and at connecting partners and the public with the United States Army War College and the United States Army. Those are two of our lines of effort that we strive through here as we campaign at the United States Army War College. And so we have organizations that all share in teaching scholarship and service here. And the Strategic Studies Institute is one part of that, which is effectively a think tank for the Army. And we're reinforcing that institute's ability to really help the Army be a thought leader as we think about strategic land power as a component of our pacing challenges, strategic culture, and future ambitions. And we have a Army Heritage Education Center here that has a remarkably unique and rich set of archival materials that are heavily leveraged by some of our nation's best historians and others in their work. And there we're striving to digitize that material to make it more easily discoverable by our students and faculty for the research efforts that are done here, but also more broadly for the public that's thinking about that critically about national security, about the Army, or as we think about just sustaining the all-volunteer force. There's a trove of information there. And then we have a Center for Strategic Leadership that is actively involved in the delivery of electives and incorporating experiential learning through expertise in wargaming into our teaching mission here for our students, not just in senior service college, but in tailored programs we're delivering for theater armies and in support of general officer education, and in particular also helping us with that more sort of critical thinking about these disruptive technologies and their potential implications for the United States Army and the Joint Force. And then finally, we have an Army Strategic Education Program that delivers executive education to our general officers and to what we in the Army call nominative leaders. So they are most senior non-commissioned officers that are paired, sergeants, majors paired with general officers as part of command teams helping to lead organizations. And those executive offerings are certainly benefited by our in-house talent, as well as strong relationships we have across academia in the United States and abroad. And so those component parts all have a sort of inward-focusing, synergistic sort of effect on our programs delivered here, but they also represent extant capability and capacity that, as you pointed out, we have to leverage every drop of value that can be gained from them to support our Army and our Army's leaders, again, dealing with those complex challenges. And so balancing that inward and outward focus is an art here. But it's one, I think, that's been applied to good effect over the last 2 years, and I'm proud to have been part of those efforts with our really wonderful directors of our school centers, institutes, and programs.
Yes, sir. And just thinking back to You know, you mentioned the Theater Army course, which I think we do 4 or 5, 6 a year, something like that. And so the fact that we're actually going out and we're training these Theater Army staffs, which, you know, from your time in U.S. Army Central, obviously, you know, everything that is done and some of the problems in terms of maintaining expertise. But, you know, having come from the Department of Military Strategy, Planning, and Operations, us, you know, our faculty members getting a chance to take part of those, I mean, it just, you know, it enriches our own military strategy and campaigning instruction because we're hearing straight from the people who are doing it on a daily basis and bringing that into the classroom. And so all of these, you know, for at least from my minor perspective here in the organization, seem to work pretty well. And as always, the sands of time are, you know, ticking down. But and so I just want to, you know, offer up, sir, some final thoughts, or maybe if you want to take this up as a teaser, is what either has most surprised you, you know, about being the commandant at the War College, or maybe something that you think is a common misperception that that you're trying to, you know, correct in the broader understanding of the War College.
Yeah, that's a great question. And so first, I'll take you back to your introduction of me at the start of this podcast and remind our listeners that I was not a graduate of this institution. My War College experience was at an under tremendous senior professional military education institution at our National Defense University. And it was a rich opportunity for me. It helped me grow. And as I reflect back, I can look through the last now 11 years since I finished that program and recognize how I benefited through subsequent leadership positions from the knowledge and experience gained through learning with my peers at that institution. But I did not leave with a bias to look to Carlisle to solve problems. And, you know, I had one familiar job after graduating from the United States Army War College, and that was command of a brigade that was of a nature that I had spent the bulk of my professional career at that point in. Then I did 1 year on the Army staff, and then I was fortunate and blessed to be promoted and given opportunities to lead as a general officer. And every one of my subsequent assignments have been vastly different than what my previous experiences had been. And so, but I was head down moving forward. And it wasn't really until coming here until I realized that breadth of experience and abilities that we have here and capability to help. And so I'm excited, one, about, you know, for as long as I'm afforded the opportunity to continue to serve when I leave here, understanding that deeply and the ability to continue partnership back with the United States Army War College. And I think, you know, I am very grateful for the individuals that choose to come here and apply their time and talent. We talk about a vision here to be the institution of choice for developing strategic leaders and a global thought leader on the application of strategic land power. And that institution of choice, we talk about it, or at least I think about it in four levels. There's a student-centered aspect to that where we want to attract those future leaders to this place because we think it offers a really unique opportunity to strengthen themselves and their families through a Carlisle experience. It's a community of academic and non-academic activities that unleashes their full potential. For our faculty and staff, where we want to attract, employ, inspire, retain tremendous talent like yourself here at the War College, because you all have choices and could apply your time and talents elsewhere. And we want to continue to bring best minds here and put them in front of our students and engage in continually deep and rich programs in the future. There's a family component of that that makes this Carlisle Barracks community as part of the broader Central Pennsylvania community uniquely rich, I think. And then there's this bias for others, institution of choice for those across the Army. So I would just tell, you know, those that might be thinking about preferencing where they want to have this wonderful experience for senior professional military education, if afforded the opportunity to do so, that I really haven't spoken to anybody that has left here with regrets, right? And I recognize that people may come here not having preferenced this as their first choice for very good reasons. But our goal is when they walk across Willock Bandstand at the end of a 10-month experience here that they look back with no regrets and wouldn't change a thing if they could.
Yes, sir. Yeah, back in June, there was a lot of smiling faces, and so I think that they were pretty happy customers. And so can't possibly improve upon that ending. So thank you very much for your time, sir. We appreciate you coming into the War Room. And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us for this conversation. Please be sure to leave a review with your podcatcher of choice so that we can continue to reach other audiences and people can find out about all the great work that is going on around the Army War College. Until next time, I'm J.P. Clark. Thank you for joining us.
And that concludes our program. Thank you for listening. The views expressed in this podcast reflect those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views, policies, or positions of the U.S. Army or the Department of Defense. Let us know what you think. Provide us your feedback, comments, or suggestions through our webpage at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. And have a great day.